Thank you. So the next item is a public comment, and my understanding is that we have a shareholder on the line who would like to speak to us.
Correct. Okay, Tom, you're up.
Okay.
So go ahead.
Yeah. So I have this water money I owe on the property. At one point, I was on the understanding that since it was raw land, that there wasn't a bill, but that wasn't the case. And then I just had some tough years. So I'd like to, get this paid as however I could, but I was curious if they could knock down a good portion of the interest. I've never used the water, and I could pay like $6,000 immediately and resolve the issue and keep. I'm trying to sell the property, but it's been a little bit hard. May keep the payment up at, next year, but I could come up with that right away. I don't know how the board would feel about that.
So typically we listen to your concerns. Does anybody on the board have any questions for our shareholder? I didn't catch the whole your name. I have Tom, so but typically so if nobody has questions, then we would discuss this in executive session. So
Is it fair to ask what the value of the property is, or is that unfair?
Yeah,
unfair.
Andrew, is that fair to ask?
Sorry, Director Covright, I didn't hear the question.
Is it fair to ask the value of the property?
I'm not sure that it's relevant to the question, so it may be something that you may want to ask offline to the shareholder, but I'm not sure that it's an appropriate question for this meeting. I actually had one question for the shareholder. Have you talked to the water company about a payment plan yet?
No.
Tom, can you hear what they're saying?
He asked me if I talked to the water company
about a payment plan.
No, I called Dr. Kathy.
He didn't try to set up a payment plan.
Yeah, but
okay.
We haven't.
Thank you, Tyler.
Yeah, we haven't had a payment plan yet.
So my understanding is that you're prepared to pay $6,000, but you want us to, you're asking the board to remove some of the interest. Is that correct?
There's no water there. There's no meter. I never used the water ever. But anyway.
Right. But I believe when you bought the property, though, there's always been fees associated with the property.
Okay.
So I suggest that we take this executive session later on, and we can get back to you after that.
Okay, so you're going to discuss it, and then I'll talk to Kathy later?
Correct.
Okay, so Kathy, you want me to give you a call next week or something?
That'd be perfect.
And then maybe we can come up with something. Okay, well, thank you very much for all your time.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank
talk
you.
To you later.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
So I had planned to do this before he got on, but he was here, so I didn't want to take the time. I want to thank you all for being here today, and I wanted to take some time to say a few words about Bob McGinnis. Let's see if I can get through this. I need my cough drop still. I always have admired his calm demeanor and public speaking abilities, which I'm sure was honed over his years in public service, or else he was a natural at it. I don't know, but he was just fabulous at it. During his tenure as president of the board, I always felt that the water company was in good hands as he stood by the water company and all its decisions made by its employees and the board of directors. He was a wonderful mentor to me. He always listened to my concerns, provided thoughtful suggestions, and always told me to trust the process as well as my instincts. And he was the reason I stayed on the board for so long. anyway, he was one of a kind, and I will miss him greatly. Thank you. Would anyone else like to say anything? I know I didn't give anybody any warning, so.
I'll say a little something. I, as well, Bob was a big influence on getting me into the position I'm in today. Bob would always say, that's the same thing I had here to share, was trust the process. And his processes worked. He took our company through some really tough times, and always we trusted Bob, and we trusted the process, and we always seemed to come out on top. I believe Bob's going to be deeply missed from our community and by everybody here at the Water District. I would like to take a moment, though, and bow our heads and give a moment of silence to Bob, and give a little something back to him, and gave a whole lot to us. If anybody else has anything they'd like to say, now would be the time.
This is Andrew. I don't want to jump on anybody else's turn, but I'll just say about Bob. When I first started working with the water company, I hadn't met Bob before, but I knew his background. And so I was very intimidated going to meet with him for the first time. And that proved to be a completely wrong fear. He's one of the nicest guys that I ever met, and I'm going to miss him greatly. And I was thinking about him this morning, getting ready for this meeting. And one of the things that stuck with me is when he would chair these meetings, folks would appear and they'd say, "Good morning, Bob, how are you?" And every time he would say, "Every day is a blessing at my age." And, you know, I think that's true at any age. And that's what I'll remember about him. And he will be missed. I agree with everything that Sharon said.
I lived with Bob professionally for many years in the Bay Area, and accidentally ran into him up here a number of years ago, and we were both surprised to see each other and to dovetail in. When we had a crisis with water, he was one who maintained some sanity at the meetings and brought us together to a good agreement in the end. And it was amazing to see him take some of the flack that he did and still be able to smile. And he will be thoroughly missed in our community and in the community of law enforcement in the Bay Area. He was a great person, but I can't say anymore.
So I guess with that, we could go back to the regular meeting. Thank you for everyone's comments.
Sorry, let me get my screen set up.
I'm here, guys. I lost the Zoom. But I'm here. I'm here, and I've heard most of what everybody has said.
Before we go any further, if anything can be done about the microphone in the room, everyone's coming through loud and clear, except the people in the conference room, and that's I can hear it, but it's a little bit garbled.
Okay. I'll make sure that we speak loud and clear. Can you hear me, Bruce, right now?
I can hear you. It's sort of an echo. It sounds like you're talking inside a garbage can.
It's because of the very large room that we're in.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So there's a thing on Zoom where you can block out the background.
We've already had that.
You already do it? Okay. Just thought I'd Try to find something you did wrong with that.
Okay, so back to the agenda. The first items are the consent calendar. Kathy, can you show everything on the consent calendar? Or?
Yes.
Thank you. Maybe. So are there any items that we wish to remove to discuss? Hearing none, I need a motion to approve the consent calendar as is.
I move to accept the consent calendar. It's Jeff.
I'll second.
Great.
I'll second. This is Bruce.
Thank you. So moved. So that's passed.
Hey,
or approved, I guess. Right? Yeah, if you could move on to the next section. I think it's the general manager report. There we go.
Karen, did we do a vote on the motion and second? It's kind of a formality, but I just wanted to
check. I'm sorry. We can vote. We did a motion and a second. Let's vote on that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And nays, there can't be any since we only have five people. Thank you, Andrew. All right, Tyler.
Okay, so for the new things I can report, Cobra 9 went down to US Bank in April and opened our new account at US Bank. I believe the total is $240,000 that we deposited into that. It's just going to be acting as a holding account. So we're within the FDIC limits. One other thing we have coming up, it'll be later this month. We have scheduled with the company who built our tanks to come up and do two small repairs. Kathy, will you pull up those pictures? We have, from the snowstorm in January, we had two spots that got damaged. This first picture here is our tank 6, and that's the level gauge. And you can see it's broke off right there on the standpipe coming up out of the top of it. As well, around that standpipe, it's breaking away the top panel. So they're going to come and replace.
Is there something we should be able to see?
Go ahead, Sharon.
Is there something that we should be able to see?
Oh, are you not able to see the picture that she just put up?
No, we just see the committee reports.
Okay, just a sec.
Okay. Sorry.
No, it's fine. Let me.
The pictures aren't too. I was just trying to give a little visual on it. Billy and I, we rented a Genie lift and we tried to get up there to repair it. It was something we could not repair without specialty tools, especially because the center standpipe was breaking away from the top panel. So they're going to come and replace a chunk of sheet metal on the top of it and replace the level gauge. Show the next couple of pictures.
Can you see it now, Sharon?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so here's where we rented the Genie lift and attempted to repair it. That's when we found it was worse than what we thought. So the next picture is a picture of the level gauge when it's not broken. Billy and I didn't get a picture while we were up there. This is actually off of tank 4. So just to give you a visual of the three standpipes that come up, that center one is the roof is broken right there and cracked. So we're repairing that spot. On tank 4, there's a vent screen that's up top, and this was the damage it took from the snowstorm. We have re-drilled it and fixed it over the years numerous times, and there's just no more spots to be drilling on it and putting in more bolts and screws. So the company's going to come up and replace that screen for us, that top vent. And that will be it. They're coming, like I said, they're coming out late this month. They're actually scheduled to come up here to build a tank for CCWD. So by waiting until the end of the month for it to come up, you didn't have to pay for travel and stay costs. So that was a good savings by just waiting a little bit longer. And that's it for there. The other thing I had I was sent out to get, I guess, a bid for us to maybe have an employee appreciation dinner. I went to the HOA, to Blue Lake Springs, and to and we went to Sequoia Woods, and they both came back with the same price. It was approximately $50 per person. So it's going to be somewhere in the ballpark of about $1,300 to have 25 or 26 of us eat there. The Blue Lake Springs HOA can accommodate us on the 4th after our meeting or that night. Sequoia Woods gave me a couple dates, one being June 25th and July 9th. Both of those dates are not going to work for me. So I won't be able to attend and choose one of those dates. So if we do it at Sequoia Woods, we have to push it out to sometime mid to late July or even further. So it's up to the board today to decide if we want to have the employee dinner like we used to have. Basically, the only one that's available right now that I have an exact date for would be the June 4th at the Blue Lake Springs Lodge. And that's the quote they sent me.
Tyler, I think you mentioned when we spoke a couple of days ago that Sequoia Woods could take us on a Friday.
And right? they option to take us in on a Friday as well, instead of it having to be a Saturday. So we could set Sequoia Woods up for the Friday as well.
Right.
Both were pretty much the same with the food. It was a steak and a fish, or a steak and a chicken, salad and some appetizers. Pretty basic plated dinner.
Well, so, I wonder if we want...
Go ahead, Sharon.
So you can't be there on the latter two dates, right?
The 9th of July, I'm going to a wedding, and 25th, I'm in a golf tournament, so I won't be available.
Right. Well, I was wondering if we wanted to, well, I guess the question is, on June 4th, does that work for most people? Or do we want to push it back to fall or something? I don't know if people, it seems like a lot of people live up there year round, or so.
Anyway. Those are basically the two options. We either have it at the Snowflake on the 4th after our meeting that evening, or we push it out probably to the fall if we want to have it at Sequoia Woods. Or late summer.
Or we do it on a Friday, one weekend, when we think the majority of people are in town.
Yeah. Of course, there were quite a few Fridays open in Sequoia Woods.
Did they have Friday the 3rd open by any chance? June 3rd? Or did they Friday. Even offer? They may not offer that one up.
I don't know that. I can definitely give them a call and ask them if June 3rd is available.
So what do the board members think?
I guess I don't understand. So Sequoia Woods has the room up there. Mm-hmm. So is that the problem? Is that taken on those dates?
It is taken for most of the summer. Well, I mean, we're trying to do this in less than a month. But it's, most people are planning weddings. Events and party. Yeah. So there was very limited dates, especially on Saturday. The reason that HOA could accommodate us is because they'll just cut the dining room in half, and they used to put up like an accordion wall or a temporary wall, and we're working on the other side, and that's the way that we used to do it. I think it was probably 6 years ago, 7 years ago.
Would he have like a table with the different dates proposal to put out? So
no, the dates are either the 4th, or if you want to do the Sequoia Woods, it's either going to be a Friday. That'll have to call them and see what Fridays they have available. I felt everybody would want to do it on Saturday, not maybe. I was just trying to mimic what we did in the past. In the past, we had it after our annual shareholders meeting. So the only one that can accommodate us for that this year is going to be simple.
So
we want some other sort of employee dinner that's not going to be structured the way it used to be. It's going to have to be sometime late summer or fall if we want to display this.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept Saturday, June 4th, after our meeting, annual meeting, and have it through late springs. Something like that.
So I probably won't be there on June 4th for an evening dinner. So not that that matters. It's more important the employees can attend. So
well, it's important that all the board members attend because I feel that's why we used to do it. So we all got to know each other a little bit better because we don't see each other.
Right.
The field crew, you guys don't ever see them at all. So it's not
So does it make sense to agree on maybe 2 dates and then find out? Because I don't think technically, I mean, maybe there's an emotional attachment, but where we have the dinner, you know, whether at the lodge or the country club, to me, is, you know, that's not really, doesn't matter as much. But if we settle on a date, then we can find out. Because it doesn't have to, there's more than 2 choices for restaurants.
Those are the 2 large
local
restaurants.
Yeah, you don't want to go to Murphy's. So does it make sense to agree on a date then?
So if we can either, I can get you some more dates and I can send everybody an email and we can make a decision later. I guess we don't have to make a decision today. But it would be nice if we could figure out if there's either Snowflake or Sequoia Woods so I could go to them and get it.
I know we want the board members there that we should agree on 3 days that the board members could attend.
Okay, so why don't we look at it'd be June 3rd, the Friday. I'll look at Sequoia Woods. And then we have June 4th for Snowflake. But Sharon won't be able to make it, so I'm going to have to move that one to a Friday as well, June 3rd. Does June 3rd work for most people right now? Sharon, would you be able to make that?
I could probably do that, yeah.
Okay.
That worked for me.
Okay. And Bruce, would that possibly work for you?
Yeah, that works for me.
Okay. So I'll look into June 3rd at both places, and I will get back to you guys on Monday with their answer.
Thank you, Tyler.
So, you bring your spouses, or did we?
Yes, it is you plus one.
All right.
So years ago, there was on the Saturday after the annual meetings, the HOA board and their volunteers and the water company board and their employees and the HOA employees as well, they all had a nice dinner. And then it was a nice way to get to know the 2 organizations and meet everybody. And it stopped about 4 or 5 years ago. We stopped doing it. Oh, I think 1 year we weren't allowed to bring the employees. And so once we got to the dinner and we realized there were no employees, or we didn't want to go anymore. So we're trying to get to know the employees again. So
the HOA is having their, I guess, their employee appreciation, or they're having a little lunch after our meeting on the 4th about that time. So, there's
theirs is later
in the month. Sorry, ours is on the 4th.
The
18th. They're having a lunch after their meeting. So
that's the way they're doing it this year instead of what Sharon just said.
That's open to all the homeowners, though. That's not just an employee.
Yeah, that's open to everybody.
So, well, thank you, Tyler.
And okay. Let me put out just
to everybody on Monday with what's available.
Yeah, just one thought. It might be nice to have a venue where there's some more walking around and meeting people than a sit down dinner, where really at a sit down dinner you only meet the people at your table. So at least a cocktail hour where people can talk to each other and circulate.
Correct. Mm-hmm. The only other thing I have to report is we had a new employee, our newest employee, Ronnie. Billy and I have been evaluating him since he had started, and unfortunately we found that he was not going to work for the long term for our company. It was not going to be a good thing. So on Thursday we let Ronnie go. So we are down to me, Billy, and Vince in the field right now.
Any prospect?
No, we just did this on Thursday. We haven't had anybody, and we don't have a prospect right now. I haven't even discussed that with Billy yet. We needed to figure out how we were going to move forward. So him and I will have a discussion. He'll be back to work on Tuesday next week. So I will sit down with him next week and we'll come up with a plan and see if we have any new prospects. But if we don't, we're going to be going out to public, putting it on our website and advertising an entry-level job here.
Okay. Thank you.
Good luck.
To open a requisition or not?
Sorry, Bruce, what did you say?
Do we need to open a requisition, or does the fact that we've lost an employee automatically open one?
A requisition to get approval to hire an employee.
We've always just done the hiring and firing with the in the office. I mean, I budgeted for another person, so we can hire on another person when we find somebody that could possibly be a good fit.
Okay.
All right, long-range planning committee. So, Jeff.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for being here.
I'm glad to be here finally. Everything that we have decided with the long range planning committee has already been discussed. And my feeling is that all we're doing today is approving what was done. For me personally, I accepted the position for the relationship with CCWD, and Bob immediately said that he would be there for me, and I can't tell you how lost I feel, and I'm sure the rest of I've listened to the rest of the comments, and I didn't want to lose control of my emotions. I spent a few minutes with Tyler's wife at Mother's Day dinner at Sequoia Woods, and also shared a tear with Bertha Underhill at the Mother's Day dinner at Sequoia Woods. And, I talked to her a little bit about my feeling of hopelessness, helplessness with Bob gone. And she said, I'm here for you. She gave me her card said, if you need any inside information on CCWD, I'll be happy to share it with you. Tyler prepared a great binder for me with all of the information on the relationship with CCWD over the years, which I try to read sitting up, you know, because it's not the most riveting piece of information, but I guess it's necessary. So I don't really have a formal report on the Long Range Planning Committee other than, you know, personally missing Tom and wondering how we're going to go forward with this. I know that when it comes down to it, we'll be fine. Everybody will be able to figure out what we're going to do. And I don't really have a whole lot else to say. I mentioned to Lee when we were talking about, you know, me handling this for Tom, you know, it's like the janitor becoming the principal, and it's difficult for me. I'm in over my head.
Well, I'm here to help you too, Jeff. So we'll get through this little LRPC report. I would say that we started with in our LRPC meeting, we started with trying to figure out committees. So we have standing committees and ad hoc committees, liaison committee. These were all given to us by Andrew to help us figure out how we should go forward with our LRPC. So the LRPC came up with a few more recommendations going down. Pretty much every committee is going to be falling under the standing committee. We even moved that one that we had on the ad hoc committees, the high water users, that got absorbed into the last one there on the standing committee of the water supply. So that will be something that go down. That this is all the people who will be picking go down.
You want to see that next turn?
Yes. These are the standing committees that we came up with. Finance and rates will be led by Craig Lutz, and the joining will be Bill Tover. Infrastructure and facilities, the asset management plan and new facilities will also be Craig Lutz and Bill Tover. Investment management will be Craig Lutz, Bill Tover, and Andy Rich. All the communications, the bubbler, water usage reports, and shareholder outreach will be done by the office staff. And then we have personnel, which is basically the employee salaries, performances, and bonuses, is led by Andy Rich, and Bruce Utter is also on that committee. And then there'll be the water supply, conservation, outreach, and high water users is going to be led by Jeff Jones, and also adjoining will be staff.
Who do we know who that will be? I mean, I would like to see that be you or somebody, you know, Lee, Kathy, you know, definitely somebody.
Definitely be staff with you on that, Jeff. I'll be working with you with that. Any meetings we have with CCWD, it'll be you and I involved in that. If any other board member would like to join any of these committees, they are more than welcome. Just to remember, though, if we have more than three, or if we have three, we have to put it out to the public and let them know we are meeting. Four.
Got it. That's because of the quorum rule?
Yes, that's an open meeting then.
I feel really comfortable with you, Tyler.
Yeah, it'll work very well. I know the agreement extremely well, and I can always fall back on Andrew with anything on that. And Andrew's been a great help to me with the agreement and working things out with Michael.
I'm sure we'll be fine. Just, you know, the whole shock of the whole thing after the long range planning committee meeting and all the discussions with Bob there, and looking great, and than the message. It's been tough. And I'm sure I'm not alone, and I'm just a whiner. It's okay.
You're not alone at all.
Oh.
Hey, can I ask a question of the long range planning? So with these standing committees, and maybe this is a question for Andrew, can people be board members be on any of these committees, or do they have to be part of the LRPC?
So the idea, Sharon, was in part to sort of change the approach that you've had with the LRPC. And I don't mean to speak for the LRPC members here, because this is, you know, not something that I've discussed directly with them, but sort of my recommendation to the water company is you've had the LRPC for so long and they've done incredible work. And I'll say it again, Tom has done the work of three staff members for you, and he's done just an incredible job. But with his retirement, it makes good sense from my perspective to break up the LRPC into these standing committees, which I've looked at the recommendation from the LRPC, and I think it's great. Because what you're going to get is you're going to get more board involvement in these processes, and you're not going to have to rely on just a few people like Tom and the existing LRPC. So the recommendation I'd have is to appoint as many committee members, board members to these committees as want to participate, up to three, of course, so that you don't have to have an open meeting every single time that the people talk, but appoint as many as are willing to serve. I think it's helpful to have an odd number of people on a committee so that you have a tiebreaker. But for some of these, you may not need three. Two maybe suffice, but you should really think about expanding out and getting as many board members involved as possible.
Okay, great. Because I want to get back involved.
Greg Lutz here today?
He is not. He wasn't able to make it today.
Okay.
So
do we pay him, or is he volunteering?
Right now he's volunteering.
All right. And I'm just worried about the number of hours. He's on three committees, so.
Yeah, but a couple of those on those committees are things that we do once or a few times a year at best.
Okay.
They're not going to be every day or every week. He won't be having to do a bunch of hours of work.
Anything else anybody needs from me for this particular meeting?
I'll stick my nose in real quick. The Finance and Rates Committee, I think that actually you might want to consider putting an additional person on that. Just speaking out of turn here, that can be a significant amount of work coming up with the new rates, and you may want to spread the labor a little bit more across more people. The other issue, though, is that the finance rates, while typically not contentious, that is a big board decision. So you may want a little bit more board representation. Craig is taking on a lot of work as a non-board member, so you may want to include a few more board members so that you have sort of the board perspective for when that comes back to the board as a budget and a rate proposal.
I know Dan's not here, but Dan seems to have a lot of knowledge about this sort of stuff. And has anybody talked to him about joining you guys, Bill?
I haven't talked to anybody.
No, we haven't directly talked to Dan about it. I felt the same way, though, and Sharon had mentioned that as well, that a lot of these, the finance rate, the infrastructure, facilities, possibly, and definitely the investment management, that Dan would probably want to be a part of. He definitely has a background in it that and he definitely could be another addition. So we have that third person in there.
Well, let's ask him and we can add.
Yeah. So I'll send an email out to him first part of next week and see if he wants to be a part of any of these standing committees.
I think he'd be an asset for sure.
Definitely. He's gone for what, 3 weeks? I think he said.
I don't recall.
Yeah. I might not get a response back from him right away. I don't know what he's
right. up to. And I'd be willing to, I'd definitely like to participate in a committee. So, but I want the people, you know, someone like Dan, if there's something he really wants to do, he should get first pick or whatever. So, but I could help with this CCWD stuff, but I know Tyler has it all down pat. So
I would be thrilled to have you join our committee.
Okay. I'll do that one.
All right.
There Terrific. We go. I was around when we signed those agreements. I don't remember them. They'll probably put me to sleep again, but.
Okay, all right. Great. I feel better now. Thanks, Sharon.
Oh, good. Good. So does anyone have any other questions about the standing committees or the reorganization?
Sharon, the other discussion that I think the board should have is sort of a meta discussion about committees, because you've only had the LRPC up to the state and sort of ad hoc committees. The bylaws don't address how committees work. They just say the board shall create rules and regulations for appointments to committees. So it may be a discussion to have with the board. How long are committee appointments good for? How are you going to cycle them in the future? You don't have to make decisions about that today, but it's a discussion that you should probably have. I think everybody's brave signing up for committees without an end date on them. This could be a life appointment for all you know.
It was for Tom. He had to move away to get away from it. So, well, that's a very valid point, Andrew. Do we want to start that discussion today?
Well, I will Anybody? Say that after the annual meeting, we do have an organizational meeting. And at that time, we pick a new president, if that happens, vice president, all the officers. And we do then talk about the chairs and who's going to be on there. So we do have that option of doing that yearly, at least reaffirming who wants to stay on a committee or be on another one as well.
Well, that's right. But I think it would be nice if, I mean, I think in general, I mean, my opinion is that it would be nice to have people on for like 2 years, because I think that first year you're just kind of learning, and then the second year you might be able to be more implement things. That's how my experience was with the LRPC. That first year I wasn't quite sure. So maybe we can have that discussion in June, on June 4th. If everybody can think about the term, and we'll have these lists at the meeting, the organizational meeting, so whoever the president is can take care of this. So I only signed up for 1 year. Bob made me do this, so
there's a 2 year rule. You know what you're doing, next year should be great.
Next year I'll be better at this. I don't know. But yeah, that there is a thought. So what were the points, the duration of the term, Andrew? Was there something else I'm overlooking?
That's right. And when the appointments happen, and Lee's recommendation from my perspective made a lot of sense, that the appointments would happen about either at the meeting or shortly after at the meeting to follow. It makes a lot of sense.
Okay, great.
Sharon?
Yes.
This is Joe. Can I make a comment on that?
Sure, please.
I've been on the Long Range Planning Committee since it started. I helped with Tom to develop it, and did it because we had some real major needs, and I stuck with it for quite a while now. So my term is over, essentially, because mission accomplished, I think. And I really appreciate all the support I got from Tom and from you guys. And you, Sharon. So my suggestion is that you consider using non-board members on these committees where you see talent or see need. And these could be used more than what we did, because I was the only one that volunteered for that. Or no, we had a whole bunch of them, but they've all passed on, resigned as they completed their mission. But when I was on the HOA board, we used committees quite often from non-board members, and we picked up a lot of talent doing that. And it's kind of an ad hoc situation. If you got some need, either you do it. And in my case, we just stayed on because I was supporting Tom, and he asked me to stay on since a long time ago, because we had some continuity as such. And so the time limit was to provide some continuity and support. So I enjoyed my tenure with it, but I think I suggest that you look for new talents and ask for people to volunteer for things as needed.
That's a great idea. Great suggestion. And thank you so much, Joe, for everything, for all your years of being on the committee. And, if there's something you want to volunteer for, just because your name's not on here doesn't mean you're not welcome. So, but I think go ahead, Joe.
I was always interested in the CCWD issue because I think the drought is going to be a real continuing issue, and then looking for water is going to be hard. And at the time when we started looking at the committee, we were talking about adding more wells, and we luckily got a negotiation with CCWD, and I think that ought to continue on more, because that drought is going to leave us with what happens if the wells don't work. And so moving with a larger commitment from CCWD on their water while we still have it, in my mind, that'll be paramount.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Do you want to be on the Water Supply Conservation Committee, Joe?
Yeah, let me talk to Jeff a little about it, because I don't know all the new members of the board, because we're not meeting anymore. That's a possibility, Jeff. We can chat with that if you like.
We can do that. We can do that offline, Joe.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yes.
And great. I would just point out that I served on the Long Range Planning Committee for East Bay MUD, representing the green industry. They called it the DMAC, the Demand Management Advisory Committee. And it was, East Bay MUD obviously is a big organization, but what they strove to do, is that a word they strive to do, was to bring in members of the community that weren't, on the board. That there was somebody from the League of Women Voters, there was somebody from the Sierra Club. It was a broad group of people, and so we downsized the size of our company, but the people assets that are out there are huge. So that I don't know how we do that recruiting, but the idea, Joe, is awesome.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of talent in our organization, and we didn't in this case look for people. We had quite a few, so we were all right. And there were experts in certain areas, and a lot of heavy discussions. It was, we were cutting new ground beyond belief, because we didn't have any meters. The CCWD was trying to take us over, and on and on and on. So that's how we formed the Long Range Planning Committee. And Tom stepped up in the leadership, and it was fantastic. So we had a lot of support in the beginning, which we needed. And again, I repeat myself, is that the HOA, when I was on the board, we used a lot of talent that volunteered as such, and they became really ad hoc member of solid members. So they just didn't vote, but they were sort of good workers.
Great, right on. Thank you.
I think it's been about, but Tom and I try to figure it out, it's 8 or 10 years. I don't know, Sharon, you may know. It's when we first started the Long Range Planning Committee, but it's been a while.
I think I joined in 2013, and it had already been going. So maybe 10 years?
Yeah, probably 10 years.
Because I joined the board in 2014, and then I got, yeah, but I was on the LRPC first. So it's been 10 years of, I can't blame Tom for wanting to retire. Let's put it that way. So, but it was definitely needed. It was, you know, I think Bob led that charge of getting Tom to lead the LRPC. And, you know, we definitely made a huge difference for the water company. So for finding water and also getting the deal with the CCWD and the infrastructure improvement project. So
yeah, just amazing when you think of it, because you look at other water companies, you know, they haven't done what we've done.
Right. When you look at 10 years ago and where we are now, it's amazing what Bob and Tom achieved. So they were, so along with everybody else. So I shouldn't put it all on them, but so I think if we could think about how to advertise in the bubbler or advertise to our general population within the Blue Lake Springs about these committees, once we, can we appoint people after June 4th to these committees? Is that going to be a problem? If somebody wants to join, he's not a director, Andrew.
No, I don't see a problem. I'm sort of thinking on the side a little bit about how to treat volunteers for the corporation. So I'm going to have to follow up on that. Okay. It's a little bit different than volunteers for the HOA, because there's specific authorization in Davis-Sterling for volunteers to serve for HOA boards. I just need to give a little bit of thought for additional non-board members serving on standing committees. But I'd say for now, let's continue on with this plan, and I'll follow up once I've had a chance to look at it a little bit further. But no, I don't see a problem with making later appointments to the committees at all. But the other thing I'd add is just making sure that it's clear how the committees are going to function in the future. It was sort of easy with the LRPC, because significant decisions would be referred to the LRPC. They'd be discussed, analyzed, and a report would come back. Is the vision for these committees that the same thing would happen just within their subject matter jurisdiction? So, for example, when it's time to update the rates each year, there would be a committee meeting, and the Finance and Rates Committee would review it in advance and then make a recommendation back to the board.
That is what I hoped for.
Exactly.
Bill?
No, I just think if we're going to have more volunteers, then we want to control communication to our population. So we may want to look at whether or not we have confidentiality agreements, like for the discussions in the committee. Because you don't want to have a committee and brings up an idea, and then one of the volunteers, you know, spreads the word out that Blue Lake Springs is thinking about doing X, Y, Z, and, you know, no decision's been made. So I would think about confidentiality agreements if we have. I don't think I've met Craig lots. I don't think you're going to have that issue with him, but you still need some type of confidentiality for these communities so they can explore different ideas.
Okay. I think when we started, we did have something like that, but I can't remember now because I may get mixed up with what we did in the HOA.
I signed something.
Yeah, I think we did too.
That I could not discuss anything outside of, I'm not sure I adhere to it, but I know I signed something. So,
yeah.
I
think we're going to have a policy in place.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. A great idea.
That's good. Yeah.
Well, that's what I
did
think.
You say,
I think
Lee?
I signed something when it first started. It was part of the process, and we withheld it. You know, we're not any kind of spokesman or anything. We were advisory, is all. To the committee, and then the committee goes to the board.
We've sure seen that it's been really difficult to get people to run for the board, and perhaps having, you know, non-board members on the standing committees might spark the interest to have them decide to join us. I know Doug Jemhog, you know, I played golf with him, and he was genuinely interested in joining the board, but, you know, when it came right down to it, decided not to. But I would think that Doug would be readily available to us as a standing committee member, and maybe that would help him move on down the road with us. I don't know. That's, I'm just thinking out loud.
I think a great way to get people involved is to, if you know someone who is interested and has, I think that's a great way to get people involved in the water company or for the board of directors or just as a committee member.
Well, that's all stuff to talk about maybe on, you know, after our meeting on, after the June 4th meeting.
So.
So, does anybody else have anything that they want to say about the standing committees?
So I think we need to, vote to, I think on the agenda there was a like approval thing for the reorganization.
Do they need to vote in the committees that they're going to allow these standing committees?
I think it's probably appropriate to have a motion, second, and vote creating these committees at a minimum, and then even if the appointments actually follow later.
Okay. Does anybody want a motion and second?
I'll make a motion to be a standing committee.
So that was a motion. That was a motion from John Dashner.
To adopt standing committees.
Is there a second?
I'll second. This is Jeff.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Thank you. So now we move on to unfinished business.
Okay, the only thing I had from unfinished business was from the last meeting we had with the rules and regulations for the new connections. Andy wanted me to make sure that there was an effective date area and get rid of the galvanized iron pipe, trying to promote people not to install more galvanized pipe out there in the ground. So this is the original document with the changes that were made to it, all the redlined areas. And this is the same one that it was before. The next one is the finished. Within this, we also have the fees for the connection service. I had looked into that and talked with Andrew about it, and I came up with a way to basically cover our costs, and then we have to cover the costs of the capacity fee through CCWD. Once we get so many new connections out there, they're going to ask, they could ask for that money as far as the capacity fee. So we should be collecting the capacity fee plus what it costs us to give them a box. So pretty much this is what I had come up with, a breakdown of all the costs. The total is $8,574 for a new connection. It is a large increase, but we have never changed our connection fee and haven't for, I can't remember. I mean, as far back as I can look, that's been the connection at the same price. So to come up with something that's a little bit more what it could cost us or does cost us, is how I came up with this $8,574. Andrew said for me to get to a better number, we would probably have somebody come in and do a study and do an analysis of this to get a higher number. I feel it's a good number for somebody with a new connection fee. In the future, the next year, we want to review this again and possibly raise it or hire somebody to do a study. That's a definite possibility.
Those costs, Tyler, include labor?
Yes. The labor I'm not including because the box is already there. The guys aren't going out to do anything. We're paying them to be here every day as it is. They don't have to go out and do anything to set it. We pop in a meter, takes about 5 minutes, and the homeowner has to connect to that. So there's nothing that we have to do.
Got it. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Looks like a good number to me.
Mm-hmm. Do you need a motion?
There's the finalized one with the effective date being today. This is the one that we would need to vote on and adopt. So yes, I will need a motion and second, and then a vote.
I'll make a motion to be accepted with also regulations for the connections to make 14th of $8,574.
So John, in the future, could you speak up? Because we can't hear anything you're saying.
Your voice.
Speak.
I make a motion that we adopt the rules and regulations for new connections effective May 14th for a total of $8,574 with the recommendations made in said document.
Very nice.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I can second.
Thank you, Bruce. All in favor?
Aye.
Signify.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you so much. All right.
Jeff, do you want to speak on these two policies? We had you down to speak on the investment and purchasing authority policy coming up, or I can speak on
it. My name is on this, and I sat and listened to everything that Tom and the other people who are more attuned to this kind of stuff than I hire a financial advisor because I can't do it. So this is all stuff that we have discussed and agreed on as the Long Range Planning Committee, and we're good with it. So I would move that we approve the statement of investment policy as presented.
Yes. Is there a second?
Did we want to have any discussion? Yeah. Hearing none, let's have a vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All right, motion carries. Or the policy is approved.
So the purchasing authority.
And then the next one is the purchasing authority. It basically delegates what I am allowed to spend without presenting it to the board. Talking about having to go out to get bids if it's over certain amounts, expenditures exceeding 10,000, but not more than 20, and then also expenditures exceeding $20,000 on what, how many quotes I have to get, formal or informal bids. So it needs to be motioned and adopted as well. The LRPC did go through this one as well and made their recommendations, and we did the changes on them.
Did we get Andy's recommendations into this final draft?
Yes.
Good.
These are his recommendations from the LRPC meeting that you guys had?
Right.
Okay.
And we had an early draft. Andy had some concerns, and Tyler has added these to this final document. So we're good to go.
Yes, we had Andrew review it. We had Andy review it, and we made the changes necessary to answer everybody's questions and concerns
on the
LRPC. On the LRPC, yes.
Is there any discussion on this policy?
We have to have a motion and a second first before discussion.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to accept the purchasing authority policy just presented.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? Okay, hearing none. Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Saying aye.
Aye.
Did I hear a nay?
I said yay.
Yay.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you.
We're patriots here, you know.
All right.
Now, the Declaration of Independence was approved. It wasn't aye, it was yay.
So going on to new business, future meeting date and time. Bill, did you get responses back?
All right. So yes. So the report, I'd say there's not enough interest in changing the date. There's not. So I would say that it failed. So the board is not interested in changing the date and time. So that one should be checked off.
All right. Good morning.
Not happy. Not happening. Okay.
And then the next part is addressing the part where I've been told numerous times or not to be handing out a bonus or raises at any point. But for as long as I can go back, if you received as a field worker, if you received your distribution to or your treatment to certificate, we have given those operators a dollar an hour raise and a $500 bonus to show the appreciation in their efforts and their increased value in the company and its shareholders. So I had written this up and had gone over it with Andy, and Andy approved it and thought it was a good clause to add in there. And then just basically in writing somewhere, it says that I'm allowed to do that when we have a new employee move up into that certification process. So I'm looking to get this adopted, and I'll have it put into the employee handbook.
My only question is, what can you give us some sort of estimate as to what kind of effort's required to do this?
You have to do 36 hours of class time. You have to go to the state and take a test that's a 200 or 250 question test. It's what the state requires us as an operator to get to be able to work on our system. So it's pretty extensive to get it. It takes about a year to get each certification. Once you get them, though, you're done. That's it. You don't have to renew it afterwards. Unless you want to go up another level, let's say to a D3 or a T3, they have to do everything all over. You have to go back to class. You have to have so many hours. And once you get to a 3, you actually have to have so many years of employment at a water company.
And Tyler, for context, can you speak to the importance of having these certifications for your Division of Drinking Water permit and how important it is to retain employees who have this certification?
Yes, the state requires our system for anybody who's going to work on the distribution system to have a D2. Anybody who is to be treating water to get to the community must have a T2. Anything without that is only supposed to be doing minor stuff. They're not, they have to have an operator present to be able to be doing this. I mean, the work, I should say.
Turn a valve. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Given those responses, I think this is very reasonable.
So is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept this. The $500 bonus and the $1 per hour raise.
Good. Second.
Jeff.
Yes. Call for a vote.
Call for a vote.
Sharon, are you there? Oh, she is.
She's on. I am here. I'm sorry. I muted myself. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? Hearing none, then motion carries.
The next new business we have, with the drought coming up, we are trying to come up with more ways to help the shareholders possibly conserve water. And one of the other ways that I found was if people would install a rain sensor on their irrigation system, meaning it senses when it's raining outside, the irrigation will not turn on. We are going to offer them a rebate. They cost anywhere from $35, maybe $25, and we are offering them just a $10 rebate. I probably, with how many like toilet rebates come in a year, I would say I'm gonna have 10 or less in a year. So just one small way we can help the community to try to promote conservation.
Coming from the industry, there's nothing that the public hates more than seeing sprinklers running in the rain. And these rain sensors also have little devices in them. I'm not going to go into the details, but it will not turn the system back on until it dries out. So it kind of mimics soil type so that you don't water, you know, 12 hours after the rain event stops. So it's a very inexpensive, and now they're wireless and, you know, very easy to install. I think it's a great incentive, Tyler. And it's on a lot of water. It's on a lot of water agencies' requirements that they be installed now.
So that I don't need a motion on. I have already placed that in our drought on our website and on our rebate area. We have plenty of funds in the drought budget this year to cover that.
I'm sorry, if we're going to offer a rebate, can we tell people where to find these things, or, you know, give some clues as to...
They're all available on our website.
We can talk about it.
We can put it in the bubbler and let them know that there are rebates that we offer for water-saving devices.
Any consideration given to providing the sensors?
No, I haven't considered that yet, just because of the different types of irrigation pieces that are out there, whether it's a rain bird or a Toro.
All that rain device does is interrupt the common wire that runs to the valves. No programming changes, no nothing. It's just a little micro switch that when the weight of the water reaches a certain point, the system shuts off. It doesn't matter whether it's Rainbird, Toro, Hunter, Orbit, whatever.
So in that aspect, if I see a great interest in it, I can definitely purchase a handful and have them on hand here in the office.
You know, those. I would think that, you know, I'd be happy to help you do the purchasing if you want, get you some prices, but I think that you could buy these for under $25 a piece.
Okay. If you have a conversation later this week about that, and we can pick a direction to go.
I think a couple of years ago, we were offering rebates or discounts, at least for the car wash. Was that effective?
It's only effective when we move to drought stage two. Drought stage two or three is when we purchase car wash tokens and try to promote people to use the car wash and not the hoses in their driveway.
And I think we purchased like $500 worth of tokens, and we did have them all used.
So who owns the car wash?
Yeah, we do.
So who do?
No, I don't know. It's changed hands, so I don't know.
I used to know them. Yeah, I used to know the guy who owned it. He sold it to another gentleman who moved up here. I don't know.
Yeah. There was some conflict of interest.
Oh, got it. Oh,
yeah. No. No, I think the car wash idea is pretty good.
Yeah, people like it.
And it's good for community relations overall. It's a good gesture to our customers.
I agree.
None. I put none on there.
Quick and easy. So then more portables, Kathy?
So monthly billing. We just sent out our second billing on April 26th. So far we have 470 auto pay users set up. We looked into the lien situation. We have 20 liens, but 9 of those liens equal $115,000. So if you look at the past due of over 120 days, minus those 9 shareholders, we're only about $10,000. And I've been sending out delinquent letters, 30-day notices, which are pretty helpful.
Thank you. Reportable items.
The first on there was the standing committees that we already have discussed in the DOPL. Second is the water waster letter. You want to speak on the water waster letter, please? The water waster letter is complete.
We went to Andrew, the board at the last meeting requested that we do some type of letter informing the water wasters that what they were doing and that we're aware of what they're doing. We went to Andrew with the template and we got that template for the water wasters and the high users, which I think we'll probably be using more than the water wasters. But Andrew looked at both and we got approval for both letters. With a caveat, there was one where, Andrew, I remember there was a caveat on one.
Yeah, I may be misremembering, Lee, but I think the caveat is just for those high water users. These are warnings, but we don't necessarily have any teeth at this point. It's just an item that we flagged for the board. But right now it's just, we're watching. Please conserve.
Right.
The next one is the reserve fund policy. During the LRPC meeting, there were a few questions and concerns within the policy and the procedure, both of them. And so those are on hold for right now until Tom, me, Craig, and I believe Andy also had a concern, meet and talk about it and then I'll stream that. So that's on hold. The new rules and regulations of the new connections, that's, we went over that earlier, voted that in, as well as the connection fee. Voting for directors.
The voting for directors was if we had 3 or 2. If we had as many seats open as we had directors running, do we need to send out a vote to the shareholders? And Andrew assured us that yes, we do need to send that out for vote. So we did that. The packets went out March 1st.
April.
We have one.
We've had 100.
I found mine.
150
returned
so far.
Wow.
We need 500.
Oh, so do I don't have to vote now.
We're on our way.
So if you haven't voted yet, please vote. Do.
So
oh, I thought you said we needed 500 votes.
For a quorum.
But you have 550.
We have 150.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sick.
500. And
like,
I saw it's like 503, I think. It's 25% of members in good standing.
How many are there?
A little over
500. That's 25%?
Yeah. Of members in good standing. So take out, we have 2,040, take out the 20, at least 20, and then divide that by 25.
So 505.
So we
might get there. We have till the end of May.
All right.
And they're coming in. Mm-hmm. We will put another notice in the bubbler as well saying, did you receive and did you send back? Because we need.
Well, we did the telephones for something. I remember.
We did that last year for this. Hopefully not again this year.
When would we start the at what time did we start doing the telephones?
You know, maybe the third week in May, we'll take a look and refigure what we have, what we need, and then maybe do a concerted telephone. I'll let you know, sure.
Okay. So that gives them one more week, right? Next week is the third week, so okay. It's a long month.
Yes. So.
And the last thing on the reportables was the survey that Cover was putting forward, and he found that we're going to be same on Saturdays for our meetings. So that's it for the reportables.
Actually, there are new reportables. Tyler will be looking into the employee dinner further, possibly for June 3rd. He will email everyone. I don't know if you can email him on Monday because HOA isn't open on Mondays.
It'll be Tuesday.
So by Tuesday, he should email everybody. And we're also going to be looking at possibly a cocktail hour so we can just have a little more
socialization.
Yeah. Thank you very much. We are going to add a staff member to the water supply with Jeff. We are going to have another board member to the financial rates, the financing rates, possibly Dan Crosby for three standing committees. We'll be talking to Tyler, we'll be talking to him. Adding Sharon to the water supply committee, possibly maybe adding Jeff Morgan to the CCWD committee if he comes back and says that he would like to or can do that. Action items, Jeff and Tyler will both be working on the rain sensor for the drought. And I think that's all I have. Did I miss anything?
That's what I have.
I think that's it.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Yeah, we did need it.
Okay.
So should I stop recording at this point?
So
do we need a motion to leave?
Yes.
We need a motion to leave. Open to
do I hear a motion to move to executive session?
Move that we move to executive session.
I'll second.
All right, so at this time, I think we have to say goodbye to Joe.
Yeah, I'm going to
sign
up.
Thank you so much, Joe. Thank you for all your work. We really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Great working with you guys. Anyway, check out now. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. That's everyone, right?
Yes.
It's hard to tell.
Just
on. I know, but I can't even see it.
Hit the participants button. It'll show you who's here at least online.
Yeah, I can see that.
There should on the record button.
Stop recording. Got it. I'm going to pause.
Shareholder.
All right. Now we're back in open session from our executive session. We discussed the shareholder. And the water company will reach out to the shareholder to discuss our findings.
Perfect.
Thank you very much for everyone for all your work. I really appreciate it. And for being here today.
Thank you.
And happy prom.
That's oh right. My gosh.
Make sure that dress is below the knees.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Bill?
Nothing. I'm on recording.
A friend of mine's daughter tested positive on Tuesday, so she spent, I won't even say how much they spent on everything, and she can't go to prom. I was just like, oh. Yeah. The dress was a small fortune, so for her, not for my daughter.
Need a motion to
return. Oh, right.
With nothing else to come before the board?
All right, so I need a motion.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
No, stop.
Thank you, everybody, for all the work you've done and your